Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brad. Rose and I welcome you to the show, The Buckmaster Show, on this the first day of spring, Thursday, March 20th. It's also the beginning of March Madness. It's also, believe it or not, International Happiness Day around the world. The Buckmaster Show, live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice. We are streaming the show at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com, and we make our program available to anyone, anywhere in the world to listen on your schedule at BuckmasterShow.com. We've got every show we ever did over the last 3 years archived up there at BuckmasterShow.com. We'll get things rolling with our new monthly feature. Month number 2 of our new feature that we launched last month, and we're having a lot of fun with it. It's going to be a regular feature on the show, and we call it The Showdown. And then we'll have our candidate interview series continuing with Fred Duvall today, Democrat candidate for governor of Arizona. Then we'll close out the show with our Superstars of Science series presented by the UA College of Science. Now, The Showdown on The Buckmaster Show features two gentlemen who have yet to find an issue they agree on. Really, they don't agree on anything except that they like this show, which I like the fact that they like the show because they're willing to come on the program and sit down and talk about the issues. Seated to the right of me, Sean McCluskey, Mr. McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, and to the left of me, David Morales, creator of the famous, Rose, I dropped the infamous, the famous Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you guys today?
Outstanding, thank you.
Let's talk about Common Core. Let's talk about education. Senate leaders today, David, agreed to a budget deal that restores funding to implement testing for the new Common Core requirements, something that the governor has challenged. Is Common Core worth all the trouble?
I'm actually a big opponent of Common Core and high-stakes testing. I think the idea under No Child Left Behind was, you know, we have a way to test schools. And if you're failing, all, you know, the government would come to your help. We would throw resources, teachers. And in fact, it's had the opposite effect where it's alienated schools. It's you know, branded schools as failing schools, even though, you know, there may be high poverty. There might be other issues that they're dealing with. You know, if you've heard about, you know, this testing, teaching to the test that teachers do now. And, you know, it's totally changed education in the last 10 years, and Common Core is the next incarnation of that, and I'm strongly opposed to it.
And you're a teacher.
I am a teacher. I teach mathematics at Pima Community College, and I have to deal with, you know, students that, you know, took calculus in high school and then barely tested into, you know, remedial math at Pima. And so, you know, this is a big issue to me because I have to deal with what the high schools don't take care of. And, you know, they're changing the mathematics, they're changing reading, they're changing everything. And there's not really any data to suggest why they're doing this. You know, it's all funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it's basically an experiment that they're using on our kids, and it's, like I said, it's got no data to back it up.
So the kids are just guinea pigs, in your opinion.
Yes.
Sean, what do you think?
It's a corporate takeover of it's corporate and government combo takeover of the education system, and there's no proof that it works. It says that we're supposed to test our kids on an international level and make them all equal to the international standards where we're failing. But I don't know how to call it other than it BS because of the fact, look to our north. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, is an industrialized nation, and they kick our butt in educational standards. They don't have a system like Common Core, but everybody likes to say, let's look at somebody that's equal to us. Well, they're equal to us. So why don't we teach the kids what they need to know and how they need to know it? I do math differently than anybody, but I always get the right answer. But I've got a twisted way of getting there. Common Core kind of sort of teaches that in a way, and in the math side, they take the broad everything that you learn as a kid, they shrink it down, they concentrate it, and they only teach you a smaller portion, but more of that smaller portion. How does that benefit us?
So Common Core, as far as both of you are concerned, ought to be just shoved aside.
Correct. I mean, it should be, you should let the teachers teach the way they want to teach. Otherwise, you're going to restrict them, put them in a box and say, here are the four things that you can teach and you can only teach them these four ways. Now, Microsoft is behind it because who's going to sell the program? Who's going to sell the test? Who's going to administrate the test? Who's going to make the money? Corporate government greed.
Where do you guys disagree on public education?
Well, I think one thing that the Common Core has led to is an increase in charter schools and this justification. I think that's one of the things the tests have done is to demonize the public schools, to demonize the teachers' unions, to demonize, you know, anything public, and to try to, you know, even John Hoopenthal has been doing this lately where, you know, he's been promoting, vouchers and, you know, charter schools and private schools. And I think that's probably, the future that you guys prefer.
I like the voucher system.
Oh, you like
vouchers? I like the voucher.
David doesn't want anything to do with the vouchers.
No. But go to the fact that, okay, you mass produce hamburgers at McDonald's and are always the same. It's always the same burger everywhere you go. You can't do that with kids because you're trying to teach the kids. Have you seen the political cartoon where you have the palm tree and the teacher sitting behind the desk and you've got a monkey, you got a giraffe, you got a pig, mm-hmm. you got an elephant. It says, go climb the tree. Every kid doesn't learn the same. So you need to give the parents the options to fit the kid. And the best way to do that is through the voucher system. Plus, it also equalizes the spending aspect. Currently, you get $10,000 per student in public school. You get $7,500, $7,000 roughly on the charter school. Why? What's so different between public and charter? Let's equal the playing field and give everybody the same amount per each kid and make it work. Run it like a business.
Charter schools get paid about $2,000 more per student, and they get, you know, more benefits for being rural or out there. You know, they get funds for building, you know, infrastructure for their schools. I mean, there's a huge skew in charter schools funding, and you know, I kind of agree with what you were saying at the beginning, but then your conclusion was the voucher system is the best way to fix it. I don't think that is true at all because, I mean, 80% of charter schools are failing schools. And there's been studies that have shown that they're highly segregated schools. And if you look at the history of charter schools, they were created right after the Civil Rights Act was passed, desegregation, to justify, you know, because what you do is you get neighborhood school kids to come to your school only, and they tend to be, you know, that's what
whatever lives there goes there, sure.
Right, and they also they're able to keep away, you know, kids with disabilities, kids that need stuff, whereas the public school has to take everyone. So what you do is, you know, you're kind of, you know, like basis, you know, you basically just start, you know.
So you only take the cream of the crop is what you're saying.
Exactly.
In charter schools, which isn't right, and I agree with you there. It's mm-hmm. not correct. But do you have the opportunity, if you are a disabled or handicapped individual, to go to a charter school? And I would imagine that the answer there would have to be yes, because they have to take everybody.
Nope, that's not true at all. They don't have to take you, and also the teachers don't even have to, you know, be certified.
Even though they get public funds,
mm-hmm.
they do not have to take.
Well, because they're experiments. They focus, like, you know, they can take students for this reason or for that reason, for, you know, fine arts or for math or whatever. And so they're not open doors policy at all. You know, there's issues of transportation, there's issues of, you know, sports and nursing. Is there even a, you know, cafeteria feeding them and stuff like that? And
that'd be a parent's choice, because your parents would obviously interview the school prior to going to it. And if you had one that didn't have a nurse, didn't have a certified teacher, and even if it was in my neighborhood and it was close and I wanted my kid to go there, it failed some of the criteria for me to educate my kid. The thing that I think most people fail on and most parents fail on is they don't participate in the home. And if you don't participate in the home, how do you expect your kid to succeed in school?
Well, if you don't participate in the home, how are you going to make a good decision in which charter school to put the kids in?
Well, that's by, you know, picking the ones with the nurse, the one with the educated and certified teachers, the one with the programs that suit your kid.
But they don't exist, though.
Sure they do.
Those charter schools are...
La Paloma is one of them that works very well.
You say you've yet, David Morales, to see a charter school that you like. That's not true.
I think most charter schools I don't like. Charter schools,
the vast
are,
majority you do not like.
Yeah, I mean,
is it safe to say you wish they were not here in the state of Arizona?
They tend to be diploma mills.
Is that safe to say?
That's safe to say.
Yeah.
The government-run public education is a diploma mill because it's teaching the test. That's all they're doing is pass the AIMS right now.
Well, charter schools have to pass the AIMS also.
Correct, but you also get optional education there because you're, once again, you're going for the specific that they teach, whether it be language arts or it be that.
Well, like I said, 80% of them are failing. So, I mean, do you have no data to back your claim up?
Who is going to produce a better student, though, that's ready for the workforce? guys, who is gonna be the better student?
Well, I mean, you just look at, I don't know, where do you guys come from? You know, charter schools are new, and
yeah, you know, charter schools were not around when I was in school. I don't know about Sean.
No, I went to a public school.
Me too, public schools.
I mean, how many charter school, you know, examples do you know that are just exemplary and that you? That's what your child, you want
well,
your
we
child
keep
to
hearing about BASIS being ranked as like the best charter school in the country.
Well, BASIS, I mean, so yeah. BASIS is in, you know, there's some schools that are extremely, they're special. Yeah. BASIS is one of them where they weed you out. They filter you out. They're not there to educate you. They're there for smart people who parents are probably professors and pushing them already anyways. These kids are going to excel anyways. But it doesn't, you know, a school should be a place where any child, any American, you know, should be able to go and learn. And excel, and that's not what's happening at charter schools. You weed people out, people you don't want, they're too far, they have disabilities, and so you just keep, and you know, it's segregation, it's filtering.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey to the right of me, David Morales to the left, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to weigh in on the discussion, it is the Thursday showdown on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our first break right here. We'll listen to the people who believe in the work we do here, and we ask that you, in turn, support them. Be right back. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time. Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today. Welcome back. It is the Monthly Showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales. And whenever Sean and David are here, they do get the phones going. So let's go right to the phones and a student calling from Basis. Go ahead. You're with David and Sean and Bill.
Hello. I was actually wanting to challenge what your guest said about Basis.
Okay.
Basis does accept everybody, and they don't try and weed people out at all. In fact, they try and help people as much as they can to succeed at the higher level of education the Basis offers. And, like, teachers, they're around constantly, and they'll stay after school way overtime in order to help students who aren't doing as well in their class. And the reason people leave Basis is because it's not that they're being weeded out by the school itself, but it's that they... Normally, it's because they're not trying hard enough.
Okay, David, that's directed at you.
Well, I don't remember the stats right now, but I remember reading somewhere that it was over 50% of students that start at Basis will not finish at Basis. And, you know, you have a reason for that, but I, you know, for whatever reason, Basis is not providing the educational environment that everyone prefers.
Okay, Dave is up next on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Showdown. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have a question regarding site-based decision-making. I wonder what you think of how effective site-based decision-making would be if the money reached the school so that a cooperative effort between the parents and the teachers and the business community could have on the physical school itself.
Where the school would be located, in other words?
Correct.
Yeah,
so
Sean,
the neighborhood school.
Yeah, what do you think, Sean?
It would work, but I think primarily the issue is we have 65,000 administrators and we have 55,000 teachers. We need to trim the administration side down and then funnel that money out of the administration side back into the education side.
David?
Well, I think one of the problems is, you know, the Republicans have bills right now that are waging a war on this, what you're talking about. There's a bill right now saying that if a school is closed, you're forced to sell it, you know, even though the local board is, you know, basically the owners of that property. And
that particular bill I agree with, because look at Doolin Middle School. It's been closed for 6-8 months now, and drive by it and look at the swamp coolers that are on top of that building. The neighborhood thieves have gone through and pilfered it, and it looks like
a
run-down building.
Yeah, but
it looks like the ghetto.
But I mean, should Big Brother and Phoenix be telling Tucson what to do with their own schools?
Why should we not sell it? Take the money, put it back into TUSD, and give it to the kids.
Then have your friend Michael Hicks sell it. I mean, you don't have.
I need you need 3 or 4 votes on the board. You only get
one. I know,
but
what I'm saying is,
you
don't need the state legislator telling us what to do. You can convince the local board to do something with it. And that's what they did in 2000. They passed Proposition 402 to sell 9 schools, and they have been selling them. charter schools.
Sean, you're saying that one school is just falling in disrepair.
Oh, no, the thieves are picking it apart. It's not falling in disrepair. They're literally, okay, if you drive by, they've removed the solar, the side panels of the swamp coolers. They've stolen the pumps, the copper,
And what school
trays.
Is this again?
Doolin Middle School, I believe it is.
Okay,
it's closed.
Okay, so if anybody's listening from...
Yeah. Go by. And it's fenced off, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't stop them. They hop out on the roof and they take what they need.
Well, who's next, Rose? We have Harry, I believe, is up with us next. Go ahead, Harry.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I see the big problem with education today with the bullying situation where students who think they're the hot stuff are attacking teachers as well as other students, and teachers are powerless to get back or to take care of the situation. And I know of this as a fact. My grandson was subject of that, and he's been pulled out of the public school system because of that. If we had the political will to start addressing the bullying situation instead of just running public service announcements about it, but indeed had the will to take action on it, I think our education system would improve.
Okay.
Now, there were bullies in my day in school, too, as well. I'm sure there were when you were in school, Bill,
yep.
Sean and David. But,
yeah.
You know, it was taken care of. It wasn't any of this nonsense. You can't touch the child, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was taken care of. I'll tell you that it really was taken care of. If somebody was bullying someone where I grew up, the kid would be tossed out of school.
Well, yeah, you get three or four of us, you go up and you bully the bully.
Yeah, basically.
And then now the bully no longer is a bully.
Basically,
I might have been wrong on my school. It might not be Doolin, but I know it's right over there.
Yeah, because
central
think
part of Tucson,
up,
which is
Doolin, I think, is still open. But anyway,
Country Club and Grant, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pima Columbus area, there's a school over there by the GOP that's got, it's just shredded.
Oh, I know that one. Pima and Columbus.
What is that school over there? Anyhow.
Anyway.
But they're picking it apart, and that's just what's going to happen. And then now the broken window theory. You've got a dilapidated school. Now the values of the homes around that school are going to drop because nobody's going to want to live there because it looks like hell.
So we're all on board about bullies? How do we deal with them, David?
Well, I don't know. It's tough to deal with bullies in schools when you have bullies on the school board that, you know, ban your education, ban your classes, ban your books. And, you know, as it happened in TUSD where, you know, your friend Michael Hicks has been quite a bully to the Latino community in Tucson. And, you know,
there's a Democrat majority on that board, if I'm not mistaken.
There is now, but when
still don't have MAS, and that's one guy's fault. I mean, he's only one of five votes. It took three votes to get that off the books
because of a state law that the Republicans passed that's still on the books.
Win the House, win the Senate, and then take it back.
All right. I think we have one call that we need to get to here. Is that Matthew? Matthew, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to make a quick comment that they can comment on. I think they both have good points. I just say that charters do serve a purpose, but they should have been the exception to the rule and to serve a purpose for, you know, situations where, like in Harlem, you know, public education needs help, needs supplement. The one thing I have a problem with is when you allow like an online K through 12 that has no facilities at all be able to get the same funding that even the charters and the public education students get. And finally, I would simply say that ultimately the state legislature, if it allows empowerment accounts to go through via state law, that both charters and public schools will find themselves under attack, even themselves, and we will see public education completely fall apart.
Okay, thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
One more caller who wants this time to challenge David Morales. Go ahead.
This is Wayne. David, you can't have it both ways. If you object to the state telling the districts what to do with their schools, how can you justify the federal government telling the schools what and how to teach them?
Well, that's false what you just said. The federal government does not tell the states what to teach. That's a fallacy out there, a big old fear of Obama. But I don't like the legislator telling us what to do, like telling us which classes we can or cannot teach.
Okay, Rose, what was the school then that Sean was referring to? Okay, John Wright Elementary is the school where Sean had noticed that thieves – are really have carted away most of the...
Yeah, they're just picking it apart.
Picking apart the school and taking apart the air conditioning system. So something does certainly need to be done about that. Final comment, David Morales?
Well, I was going to say maybe it should be the cops' fault for not patrolling that school.
Which goes to the city council, democratically controlled, don't have enough funding, you pick and choose where you spend it, you got $49 million going to SunTran, and you have nothing going to police and fire.
That's true. I guess we will agree on one on that part. We both have troubles with the city council, and we're both Wildcat fans. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, there
go
we
Cats.
Go. Yeah, we're all Wildcat fans here, and appreciate it's good to see you, David Morales and Sean McCluskey. We will look forward to the April edition of the Showdown. Topic to be determined. We'll kind of see how it goes, sort of play it free form. We thank all the listener input. You guys are great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's really amazing the progress we're seeing in downtown Tucson, thanks to popular hotspots like Historic Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. Now, here's someone who really knows all about great events.
Hi, this is David Sleuths, Entertainment Director for Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We host over 350 events a year in downtown Tucson, from signature events like the Tucson Beer Championship and Agave Fest, to rock, jazz, comedy performances, weddings, company holiday parties, art openings, lectures. Heck, you name it, we do it. And when we need help, we turn exclusively to the Arizona Party Team. No one comes close to their professionalism and resources. We've asked a lot of crazy things from them, often at very short notice. And they always say, we can do that. And you know what? They do it. Oh, I'll trip them up one day, but I haven't yet. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Yeah, we're kind of untrippable at Arizona Party Rental. Come on by and visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, may we suggest Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, the arts and recreation-oriented historic area just 3.5 miles east of Tucson. Mile-high elevation makes for beautiful mild days, cool nights. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for all the great things to do and places to stay like Agave Ridge Retreat, Axle Canyon Preserve, and Bear Paw Ranch. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Fred Duvall, candidate, Democrat candidate, Governor Arizona. Mr. Duvall, Fred, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. We haven't checked in with you in a while. How is the campaign progressing?
Well, terrific. It's going very well. I've been all over the state for the last year now, a year and some change. I've got myself no primary on the Democratic side, which is terrific. We're unified, and I'm talking now to a lot of independents and Republicans, and really like the way it's coming together.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said maybe you'd be better off if you were primaried. It might create a little more excitement. How do you feel about that?
You know, you control the things you can control, and you let the rest go, and that was out of my control, and there are advantages and disadvantages. Of course, the great advantages are that I can focus really a general election campaign from the get-go. As I said, talking to independents and Republicans, we can save a lot of cash in the bank for the general election while the Republicans will have to spend it on one another. So all in all, I think it's a net plus, but it's one of those things that you don't have much control. You just take the way it's dealt to you.
And we had the independents now, the number one, the biggest percent of voters now independents in the state. Does that play well for the Democratic Party and Fred Duvall?
Well, I think it really does. I think that the move towards independents from both Republicans and Democrats is an expression that's really been in Arizona politics for a long time, that folks are not that aligned with parties. They're very independent thinking. What they really want is our solutions-oriented leadership that work with people on both sides of the aisle, that are able to focus on the things that really matter, make a difference in their lives and their kids' education, their jobs, and not get hung up on sort of the party requirements of both sides, which I think increasingly Arizona's voters and the growing independent ranks find to be increasingly irrelevant to the issues that they're facing at the dining room table and in their families.
We just had a very spirited discussion the first half hour of the show today talking about vouchers versus public education. Do you think that the superintendent, Superintendent Hoopenthal, went over the line when he did the so-called robocalls pushing vouchers?
Yes.
You do.
Yes. How's that for an unambiguous
There
answer?
You go.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, where do you come in on this whole argument about vouchers versus public education?
I think we've got to save every school that can be made to be more effective, with better outcomes, better performance, that we have got to make sure that every student has a real chance to manifest their God-given talents. And many students have choices. Many, you know, are going to be homeschooled. Many have choices to go to publics or charters. Many don't. Many walk to the closest public school. In fact, 85% of our students are still in the public schools. We've got to make sure that they all work, and that's going to require two things. It's going to require more resources. We have starved our schools, particularly the last 5 years, where we have reduced their funding by 20%, and watched the growth of class sizes and the departure of good teachers. And secondly, we've got to hold schools accountable for good outcomes. And I favor the the notion that the called Common Core, or in Arizona called career standards, that we need to have benchmarks, school against school, state against state, so we know how we're doing in a global economy. And I know that's not a position that's shared by some of the Republicans running, most of the Republicans running for governor, but it is definitely shared by the business community and employers and folks that are seeking to hire talent. They want to know what they're getting, and they want to make sure that these schools are producing the best possible talent.
How about higher education, an area that you're very familiar with, serving on the Arizona Board of Regents? You are a longtime regent.
Higher education has been thriving in spite of serious cuts from the state legislature. Now, painfully, tuition went up. It resulted in many students losing an opportunity to go to higher education, but the universities are well-led. They are dramatically different institutions today than they were before I went on the Board of Regents. During my term, we faced $500 million of budget cuts, and in the process of taking out those public dollars, we also went through a very significant transformation where today students can go online, my initiative, and called ArizonaTransfer.com, and take courses from both universities and community colleges and get their degree faster and at a lower cost. And as a result, they are moving ahead. Enrollment is growing. You may have seen that the presidents have come out with their tuition proposals, which in some cases are zero, others very, very small. We've really repositioned higher education for more access and better outcomes, and I'm proud of my work.
Well, we had the new president of the university, President Hart, was on the program recently, and we're talking about this Tech Launch Arizona. Really is a game changer, I think, here in Southern Arizona. Would you agree?
Oh, entirely. And, you know, growing up in Tucson as I did, Tucson, because of the University of Arizona and because of aerospace, and we've really, and bioscience, Ventana, we've got real possibilities in both Southern and Northern Arizona, but particularly Southern Arizona, to really get a piece of the 21st century economy. And the sweet spot is making sure that smart researchers are connected with entrepreneurial folks who commercialize products, with venture capitalists who will fund it, and you create an ecosystem around creating the new ideas and products for the future. And Tech Launch Arizona is a necessary and well-designed way of accomplishing that.
All right, let's see if we can work both of these calls in before we have to say goodbye to Fred Duvall. Jim will be up first because Jim wanted to talk about what Mr. Duvall would do specifically for Southern Arizona. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, Mr. Duvall. Thank you for talking about the U of A and Tech Starts. But without Southern Arizona improving overall economically, nobody's going to come down and get to Southern Arizona and get that stuff started from the U of A. They'll just take it someplace else. What can you do to get the Southern Arizona political climate to start focusing on adding to our economy instead of being the Johnny-come-lately drag that it has been for the last 10 years?
Jim, I really appreciate the question, because Tucson's got such wonderful, unique assets. As I said, I was raised there, and you know, it's got a nationally ranked university, huge asset. You're closer to Mexico. We have got to reset and aggressively re-embrace Mexico as a trade partner and a commercial partner, because California, Texas, and New Mexico are slowly stealing those opportunities from us. Obviously, the aerospace sector is really critical, and it's hugely important that we continue to lead in that sector. Downtown Tucson is, I think, going to be one of the most exciting things. Smart young talent wants to live in urban areas, you know, walkable scale. And downtown Tucson may be the most attractive community now, or downtown community in our state, for young talent to come to. And I hope out of that, those combination of factors, that we're really going to ramp up Tucson's ability to compete.
All right, let's go to Charles who's next with Fred Duvall. Go ahead, Charles.
If you get elected governor, you're going to have to swear to uphold the Arizona Constitution. According to that Constitution, what is the stated purpose of government in Arizona?
Fred Duvall?
What is the stated purpose of government? I assume we're talking about in the preamble, or are we talking about the stated purposes in the articles?
In the actual Constitution, there is a stated purpose of government. If you're going to swear to uphold it, would, you know, help to know what that is. I'd like to know, what is the stated purpose of government in Arizona?
What?
Well, I apologize. Haven't read the preamble recently, and I will do so after this call. I mean, I will describe what I, you know, having read the minutes of the Constitution. You know, our founding fathers were quite enlightened and set about to design a Constitution that protected liberty, expanded freedom, and also provided the tools for to seek common purpose and common outcomes. Things such as Article 10 and 11 that guarantees that we will try and achieve education as nearly free as possible, things of that kind. So it's a very enlightened document. So I think there is a number of principles involved, and I will go back and reread the preamble after the call, and I appreciate your reminding me to do so.
Okay, thank you. Good answer for a tough question. And Fred Duvall, we thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us here on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Fred Duvall with us on the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:45, we will have up next our U of A College of Science Superstars series. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by the UA College of Science with nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students. The University of Arizona College of Science, bringing together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. You can find out more at cos.arizona.edu. Check out their fine website, UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Elliot Chu, Associate Dean of the UA College of Science and Professor of Physics at the UA. Dr. Chu is committed to improving undergraduate and graduate education in the College of Science. Dr. Chu, good to see you.
Great. Thank you for having me here.
How do we improve, bottom line, undergraduate and graduate education at the College of Science?
Well, I would say probably the first thing we have to look at is math preparation. Believe it or not, when we look at all the students coming to the University of Arizona, about a third of them are unprepared in mathematics. And we see a very strong correlation between their math preparation and whether or not they continue on at the university. For instance, as I said, about a third of the students come in not at college algebra level. And those students are the ones who are most likely not to continue the next year, or we call it retention, but what we mean is that they don't come back for their sophomore year of school.
What is the problem? Are they not getting college ready mathematics at the high school level? Is that kind of one of the root causes here?
It's one of the causes, I think. Until recently, students who are graduating from high school only were required to do 3 years of math. And now that's been up to 4 years. And also, there's been, a trend across the United States as to a lot of people criticize our math preparation in the United States as being a mile wide and an inch deep, meaning that we have students doing lots of different things, but really maybe not having as much understanding. So that's one of the root causes. I would say there are lots of them. Another root cause is we actually don't have enough good math teachers. If you look at the number of math and science teachers that we produce at the University of Arizona, it's about 25 per year, and we just don't have enough qualified people going in to teach those subjects. So that's a real cause. And there's also perception too. You know, people come in and say, oh, I hate math, and math is hard.
Right.
And we have to kind of change that perception and make it people realize that math is involved in everything they do.
Well, you have a Math 100 course, and it's interesting because if a student is math ready, it really does indicate that they may have better success at the university.
That's correct. So when we started a few years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago, a course called Math 100, which is a very innovative course that the math department developed, and it's an online course, actually. But the students are resident on campus. And there were a couple things that happened. We used to not have courses below college algebra at the university. And by offering those courses, we can get students who are already at the university involved in math at the get-go. And what we found with that course is that students who take that course are now are retained at the university at a significantly higher rate than those students who don't take that math course. So it's about 5 to 10% higher improvement in our retention rate just with that one course.
Well, it's interesting because if a student is struggling with math, it is a problem that they probably figure, well, maybe the whole college education experience may not be for me. So, I mean, it really, that math is central to improving their whole, perhaps, outlook toward higher education.
It really is. And I think it's because, to be honest, math improves their critical thinking and their problem-solving skills. And those are kind of skills that that college really depends upon. You know, the transition between high school and college is such that you're not just parroting back facts and figures, but you're really trying to think on your own and solve problems. And actually, to be honest, that's what our employers want, too. They want people who can go out and solve problems. So the math thinking that we have in there, even though it may seem a little bit abstract at times, I think really does get to the key, one of the keys. It's not the only thing, obviously, but it is a huge precursor as to their student success at the U of A.
We're speaking with Dr. Elliot Chu. Dr. Chu is Associate Dean of the UA College of Science, and we hear so much about STEM, the acronym STEM. What is STEM, and what I understand you have a STEM learning center now.
Correct. So STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, and it's an acronym that kind of popped up 5-10 years ago or so to kind of codify the fact that there are a lot of jobs and careers that depend upon knowledge in those specific fields. And at the University of Arizona, we recognized this about 4 years ago, that if we want to kind of stay relevant and ensure that our students are successful in this region where economic development is going to highly depend upon expertise in the STEM fields, that we kind of had to get ahead of the ball. So we created the College of Science in conjunction with the College of Education and a number of other partners now, including College of Education, College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, have gotten together and created the STEM Learning Center on campus. And it actually has multi-purpose parts of it. Three of them include trying to improve undergraduate education in STEM fields. Another one is to prepare more STEM teachers in the K-12 system.
Yeah, because there's a shortage of them in the K-12 system.
Very much so. Yeah. In fact, I was at a meeting with a bunch of superintendents recently, and they said the three highest needs are science teachers, math teachers, and special ed.
Wow.
And getting a highly qualified science teacher, especially in the high school, is very, very challenging for them. They will go out of state to recruit people.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in, Dr. Chu. One of the Buckmaster Show listeners has a question, I believe, about material science at the University of Arizona. Perhaps you can be of service. Go ahead, Tom.
Dr. Chu?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Arizona has ceded a lot of this technology to California with research in material science. All of the composite manufacturing is done in California. And I just wondered if you had a long-range goal, or if you're thinking about targeting advanced composite materials, specifically since the Arizona has that big world-class optical department where we manufacture optics for telescopes and whatnot. It seems to me like we should be going full speed ahead so we could actually be making our optical composite benches right here in Tucson, Arizona.
So that's a great question. Thank you very much. The Material Science Department is in the College of Engineering, so I'm not as familiar with them. But the University of Arizona just recently, last week, announced the creation of a defense center on campus, which is going to look at those kinds of initiatives. So bringing together multi-disciplines that have expertise so that we don't end up, you know, ceding our expertise to other states.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Dr. Chu, to have that on campus with Raytheon here.
Right.
I mean, it just really, that makes sense to have that program here.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But, I think the university, especially under the recent leadership of Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, has been really forward-thinking in trying to ensure that we are relevant in our region and that the technologies that we develop and bring to bear become an asset for the state.
Dr. Chu, I want to mention that April is Earth Month, and your colleagues at Biosphere 2, which is under the portfolio of the U of A College of Science, I think it's important that we let people know that there's going to be a big month out at Biosphere 2. There are activities really every weekend, so it's a great way to commemorate Earth Day, then stop into the University of Arizona Biosphere 2 for the new Rainforest and Ocean Galleries. So that is really going to be a big month up at Biosphere 2.
Yeah, we just opened up the Ocean Viewing Gallery, and the ocean that is in the biosphere is about 1 million gallons of seawater. I believe it was from the Sea of Cortez, And but the ocean that they developed there was more like a Caribbean ocean. So we're trying to bring it back in the future to look more like the Sea of Cortez, and also to educate people about the region and how the desert region and the sea interact with each other.
So celebrate Earth Month with 4 weekend programs. Each weekend will focus on different facets of our lives, of our planet, and the related scientific research. So much going on at Biosphere 2 in the scientific area. Check out the Biosphere 2 website for the details and the schedule of the hands-on activities, live animals, science content, and a lot more. Dr. Chu, thank you very much for the visit today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I had a great time.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Elliot Chu, Associate Dean of the U of A College of Science. You can find out more about Biosphere 2 and the UA College of Science. Go to COS for College of Science. arizona.edu. UA Science and Innovation certainly is a place of discovery. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, then Chris DeSimone with the Daily Double Show. I was honored to be on the program this morning. Had a good time. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tomorrow we'll see you on the Friday Focus at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.